Amen. The message you're going to preach now is one of the reasons I'm going to preach it is because in the Western world, Christianity has been in decline for a number of years. And this year, in America, 1,800 pastors every week quit as it starts to get harder and people become a little bit more persecuted because of what's going on in the world and the church becomes less popular. Last year in America, 8,000 churches closed and 4,000 were planted. And people will tell you America's in revival. It hasn't been revival, it's been in decline. And in Australia, for 70 years in a row, the official statistics of Christianity is actually declined. So the Bible speaks about the end days, a great falling away. And I believe God wants us to say to you today that not one person in this church will fall away, but everyone will have the testimony of Paul that says, I've fought the good fight. It wasn't easy for him. He was abused, accused, stoned, shipwrecked, lashed, left for dead. But he said, even in the face of those circumstances, those difficulties and those challenges, at the end of his life, he says, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand, but I fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. What a wonderful testimony. What a wonderful thing for him to say. What a wonderful thing for all of us to say at the end. Although it's never easy if you're a Christian because you have an opponent, you have an enemy called Satan who makes sure that you have some difficulties. But Paul says, I fought and I won. I believed and I've overcome. And I got to the end with Christ and now I see in the Spirit like Stephen did when he saw the heavens opened. I see Christ and I see him who I've lived for. I see him who I've loved and I see my reward, a crown of righteousness. God's got something for me. I see it in the Spirit at the end of my life. And I believe everyone in the church here is going to get to that place. And Hebrews 12 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares, and let us run our race with endurance that is set before us, looking unto Christ. Looking unto Christ. I want to speak today. You know, why is Paul able to go through? If you read the book of Acts, Paul was converted as a Pharisee. He's a flawless Pharisee, almost like a perfect Pharisee. And he had this encounter with Christ where he's knocked off his horse. He was blinded for a period, but then Christ called him into his service and says, I'm going to make you an apostle to the Gentiles. And this man, who was a persecutor of the church, was not one of the 12 apostles, but through that encounter with Christ, when he saw Christ, he became more fruitful than any of the 12. Even though his life was probably more opposed, people were suspicious of him, they didn't receive him, they accused him of having a strange doctrine. Almost wherever he went, he had physical attacks on his body. Once he was taken outside of a city and stoned and left for dead, and they thought he was dead until God raised him back up again. Maybe even was dead. But he had incredible challenges. He lists them and he says, I was in the sea a number of times. I served Christ. I was shipwrecked. And he says, I was lashed many, many times. I was whipped by religious authorities and imprisoned many, many times. He spent many years in prison in the Romans. So he had not an easy life. He had a lot of difficulties, far more difficulties in his walk than we have with ours. But he said, despite all those difficulties, beside all the opposition, despite all the abuse, despite everything that he went against, the shipwrecks, everything, he said, I've actually served Christ faithfully. I didn't fall away. The devil was attacking me all the time, but I fought back. I fought and I endured and I ran for Christ and I've not failed him. And I got to the end, and now I see a great reward. I want to tell you, to get to the end and to have your great reward is not easy. Anyone that tells you it's an easy walk, maybe they're not walking it. It's a narrow path. Gate to destruction is what, it's not easy, but it's glorious. And I want to tell you why Paul was able to go through every challenge, every affliction, every opposition, everything man did to him, everything the devil did to him, and he just got better and better. He just got better and better. He got more and more fruitful. He got more and more like Christ. And he endured to the end. I want to tell you why he endured to end and why everybody endures to the end, why everybody makes it. It's all for the same reason. And why everybody will get that crown of righteousness. Maybe it's not a crown of righteousness. God spoke to me many, many times, but he's actually got stuff. You know, the Bible says that Christ is coming and his reward is with me. And many times God's spoken to me about being the Church of Philadelphia. Make sure you lead the Church of Philadelphia, not the Church of Laodicea. And he says, if you lead the Church of Philadelphia, there's a great reward. And he says, I'm going to make him, who's part of the Church of Philadelphia, a pillar in my temple. I'll write on him the name of my God. That's why I'll never get a tattoo. Got to be placed for the name that God's going to write on me. And the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, I'll write on him my new name. And I know when I get to the end, my God's going to do that for me. That's what I believe the Holy Spirit said will be my reward. But Christ, he's coming and he's got rewards with him. And Paul saw that reward and he said, there's a crown of righteousness that Christ himself's got a place on my head. And he ran and he endured and he kept the faith. Why? I tell you why he kept the faith. I tell you why you're going to keep the faith. I tell you why I'm going to keep the faith. It's not complicated. The Bible says this. It says, without vision, people perish. And I've heard a lot written and preached about vision some of it I agree with, some of it I don't agree with. Some of it, even in the church, the vision they've preached is like a corporate vision that you've got to come up with something, otherwise you're going to not get there. But it's like it's all about growth and it's all about more and it's all about this and it's all about that. And the only vision that really is going to make you endure to the end, the only vision, you may have other visions, but the vision you need to endure to the end is all about Christ. It is all about Christ, and you have to have seen him. Paul saw Christ in the Spirit. You have to be, you can't be religious. You have had to be born again, be filled with the Spirit, and you have to have seen the glory of Christ. You have to have seen him suffering on the cross for you in the Spirit. You have to have seen him turning the other cheek. You got to have seen, like Paul did. He actually saw Christ and he had this vision of Christ. And he said, everything else, I had this vision. When I met Christ, he said, even though I was religious, even though I was well respected, even though, I had stuff, the approval of men, he said, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. The word rubbish there in the Greek really means dung, like horse dung. He said, I consider everything else dung, that I may gain Christ. And when you truly have had a vision of Christ, when you've truly met Jesus in the Holy Spirit, the evidence of whatever experience that is that after that, everything else in life, everything else materially, it's like it's considered as dung compared to Christ. That's how you know you've really encountered Christ, that you've really encountered him in his majesty, his glory. Everything else, your new Mercedes, Benz, whatever, just considered rubbish because they're dead things. But when someone's encountered Christ and seen the majesty of Christ, everything, the measure of that experience is that everything else, just nothing can compare to him. Nothing can compare to his glory, his wisdom, his majesty, his beauty, the beauty that's in Christ. Nothing can compare. We sing that song, but it's truth. Nothing. Everything else is like rubbish. And Paul says, I had this experience when I actually had a manifest encounter with Christ. And after that, everything else was rubbish. Christ gripped my life. And what what inspired me, what kept me going, is that Christ didn't just lay hold of me, he said. He didn't just lay hold of me for nothing. He didn't lay hold of me that I may know what he's done. He may lay hold of me, he says, that he says, he lay hold of me, I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of me. So he said, Christ, I met Christ and he laid hold of me and he had a purpose. And he says, my whole life was that I may lay hold, I may grip that which gripped me. And he says, this is my vision. He says, when I met Christ, he knocked me off that horse. It was so glorious. Meeting Christ is so glorious that everything about my life, I had a vision and it was all about, he says in verse 8, he says, everything else is counted rubbish that I may gain Christ. And this is what's going to keep you running. God wants you to gain Christ. He wants you to not only have the knowledge of what he's done for you, but he wants you to gain Christ. He wants you to gain his life. He wants you to gain his wisdom. He wants to gain his righteousness. He wants you to gain his fruitfulness. He wants you to gain not only the benefits of his death, but he wants you to gain the very life of Christ, hope of glory in you. And Paul had this vision that kept him going, that he may gain Christ. And it so gripped him that everything else was like rubbish. And he said, I want to gain Christ. And he said, I want to gain his righteousness, not which comes through law, but is from God through faith. So he had this vision that he would have a righteousness of God, not his own righteousness. He tried to keep everything he'd tried to become righteous by keeping all the rules and all the moral requirements of the law, and he realized that had failed. But he says there is a righteousness that God imparts to us, and it comes through faith. And there's a righteousness that comes by not me trying to do everything perfectly, but by believing simply that Christ came and lived perfectly on my behalf, and that he died for my sin. And as I believe that it's all Christ, that he did it all for me, as I simply trust in his righteousness, God imparts through the Holy Spirit a new life in me. I'm a new creation, and I overcome sin. Those things start to break off my life as I believe in Christ. He says, I want to gain that. I want to gain the very righteousness of Christ, not dead works, not law, by faith. I want the Holy Spirit to produce the very life of God, the wisdom of God, the love of God, the self-control of God, and it comes through believing Christ. He says, that's what I want to gain. He says, I want to gain his righteousness. That was his vision. And then he says, I don't want to gain his register, but I want to know him. He wanted to gain Christ's righteousness, but he wanted to gain an intimate relationship with Christ as well. And that word know is not head knowledge. It's the same word that's used for when Adam knew Eve. It's a relational word. He said, my life now is gripped by the fact that I may gain Christ and I actually really may know him. And you know how you're going to know Christ? I'll tell you how Paul knew Christ. It says right here, it says, I want to know him by the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. And if you look at Paul's life, what happened? It was the devil attacked him. Many, many times the devil attacked him. And he looked like he was gone. If you go to Acts chapter 13, the devil attacked him. He got people. He just healed and delivered a man. There'd been a miracle happen in Acts chapter 14. And the people started to bow down and worship him and call him a god. And it says then in verse 19, Jews came and stirred up trouble, persuaded some men, and they stoned him and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But he rose up. Disciples gathered around him and he rose up. Went into the Derby the next day. You see the same thing in Acts chapter 16. He's been followed by a girl who's got a spirit of divination, and he says to her, in the name of Jesus, come out. And she is delivered. And then because of this miracle he does, he ends up in jail. And then he starts to praise God. And this great miracle happens. As they start to praise God, the prison is shaken. Immediately the doors are open. Chains are loosed and everyone in the prison gets saved. And what was his life like? I tell you what it was like. It was a series. Because when you're known in heaven, you're also known in hell. And the devil attacked him continually, continually, continually. And this is what happens in the Christian life. You have troubles, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but out of them all, God delivers them. Every time he was in a crisis and he trusted God, he knew the sufferings, he knew the fellowship of Christ's sufferings, but just as the power of the resurrection came after the cross, every time he suffered, every time he looked like he was hopeless, he trusted God, and God's miracle, Holy Spirit working power, came and delivered him and shook that prison and raised him up even when he was dead. And he said, through these experiences of going through the sufferings, but seeing God's supernatural power come and deliver me from every single one, he said, through them I've come to know Christ. And there's only one way you come to know Christ. The fellowship of the sufferings and the power of the resurrection, they always go together. But Paul said, I don't mind because I got a vision. My vision is that I may gain Christ, his righteousness, that I may really know him through those experiences, that I may get closer to him, that I may know more of his life, more of his wisdom, that I don't just know about him, but I have an experience of him. And he said, I wanted to know him. And he said, I want my character to be like Christ. He said, Christ is so beautiful, he's so wonderful. He says, I want to be confirmed. Or conformed, it says in verse 10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. What does that mean? And he was unjustly treated. And yet the Bible says he didn't revile back. He was completely innocent when he was mistreated. And Paul said, I want that. I want that in my character. Even when people say things against me, I want this level of faith. I don't speak back. I don't revile back. I simply trust my God and pray for them and say, forgive them, Lord, for they don't know what they're doing. He said, I want that character of Christ. I don't just want to know him, but I actually want his very, very character manifest in me, that I too will remain innocent when I'm mistreated. And he said, that's what I want. I want Christ. I want to gain all of him. And then finally, he says, I want to gain the very fruitfulness of Christ. He says, not that I've already attained it, because none of us ever do. And he goes later on, he says, to the degree which we have already attained, let us walk in it. But he said, Christ didn't just save me to make me sit in church for a million years. He didn't just save me that I would just be like everybody else in the world. He saved me to make me fruitful. I want to tell you something. God wants to do extraordinary things through your life. He doesn't just want to make you like Christ, the righteousness of Christ, the character of Christ. He wants to produce the fruitfulness of Christ through your life. He wants you to win souls that you couldn't want to believe for him. He wants you to influence this world to be a light in the midst of the darkness. And he wants you to be fruitful for him beyond your wildest imaginations. So when he comes, that he says, my reward is with me, that you have a great reward as well as being transformed to his likeness. And Paul was fruitful for Christ. He started churches all over the place. He began ministries that are still going today, and you can too. You've got to get it. We've got to get it in our minds that we can accompany extraordinary fruitfulness for Christ in this generation. And that's why he lay hold of you. God has laid hold of you. He is the vine and you are a branch to make you fruitful. But I want to tell you something. Nothing just happens. Nothing. This is what's wrong with the church today in the Western world. We have this quietness. Everyone wants to be melancholy, come into a prayer meeting and say nothing and just sit and do nothing and think that we're going to become fruitful. He says, I press on to lay hold of that which Christ lay hold of me. I want to tell you, I was preaching on David last week. David and Goliath? Who was the aggressor? David. David was the aggressor. And the Bible says violent men lay hold of the kingdom of God. that the kingdom of heaven is being preached. Everyone is pressing in. There is things that God will do just because he loves us, but there are things that God will only do when we do our part. And Paul says, he says, I not only wanted the character, but I wanted to be fruitful for Christ. And he said, because I was fruitful, I pressed on through every opposition. I was not passive. I got up when they sent me out of Antioch. I got up and I moved into Derbe, and then I moved into Lystra. I kept on going. I kept on laying hold of that ministry. God said, I'm going to be fruitful to the Gentiles. And I pressed into it. I moved into it. I didn't stop moving into it. I lay hold of that which Christ lay hold of me. You know, I'm just getting this in the spirit. You know, we love the story of Ruth, and we love the story of Boaz, because she met Boaz, didn't she? And we know that she became, Boaz is the descendant of David and descendant of Jesus, and she was just this nothing sort of girl. She was a Moabite and she had nothing. But this is what it says. It says that, how did that all happen? How did she meet her Boaz? How did she become the wife of Boaz? And how did she find this great favor, it says, from Boaz? It says, when she got back from where she came from, Ruth said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean that I may find favor. And she said, go. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. And now Boaz came from Bethlehem and said, who's that? And noticed her. My point I make is that she started something. She got up and she said, let's do something. Let's just put ourselves in play. I want to tell you, many people who are called. Paul was called. Paul was chosen to be the apostle to the Gentiles. That was the music God put in him. And many people die with the music still in them. They've never sung their song. You know why? Because that which Christ laid hold of us for, we must lay hold of it. And we must press on to the things which God has called us. And what happens when you start to use what God's given, you just start to use. Maybe God's given you a gift of mercy. I want to tell you, years ago, I just started to give out, go to a, I don't really have that gift of mercy, but I just started to search for the things of God. And I worked in the city. And I just noticed some people that didn't have any food. They were lying in kind of the verandas of buildings and sleeping homeless at night. I did? I just went to the bakeries that were around there and said, at the end of the day, can I have your spare bread and cakes? And I just gave them to the people. I didn't really have that gift, but I just started to think, well, I got a heart for these people. I got some love in me. I'm going to do something. And what happens when you start to do something? You start to use what God's put in you. The power of the Holy Spirit begins to work, and you start to realize the power of God that's in you. And then God multiplies, because if you're faithful with little, he gives you something bigger. But we have to lay hold of that which Christ lay hold of us. We actually have to move into. You know, some of us, we got callings, and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got the anointing. I just feel like God's saying, he's saying, you know what this is? Heaven is, it's eternity, and when we got forever to celebrate our victories. Forever. But you got 70 short years to win them. That's all this life is. It's time to lay hold of that which Christ lay hold of you. And Paul, he said, I want to be fruitful for my Jesus. And this ministry that he's given me, I'm going to work it. I'm going to press on. I'm going to overcome every obstacle. I'm going to grip it and not let it go, because he's gripped me. You know what stops you being incredibly fruitful? What stops most people being incredibly fruitful? I tell you, he says in this passage, he says, brother, I count myself, I haven't already attained it. You know, you never do. Whatever God's called you, you're never gonna get it fully. Anyone who tells you they got it all together and they're walking everything, you're never gonna get there. You're never gonna get to the fullness of Christ, because he is perfection. But he says, I'm not perfected, but I press on to lay hold of that which Christ laid hold of me. I don't consider myself to have apprehended it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that were behind and reaching forward. The reason a lot of people can't move in and lay hold of, press in because of what God's called you to, is because they haven't forgotten what's behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. What does that refer to? Forgetting those things. You know, some of us, we think God could never use me because of my past. I'm not worthy to be used because of my past. But I want to tell you, God, the truth is, God carves best with rotten wood. It's the truth. If you think you don't know how low I've been, I want to tell you, God chose David, and he was a murderer and adulterer and goodness knows whatever else. Chose Moses, who killed somebody. Chose Peter, and he has a different attitude to failure that we have. The blood of Jesus washes us clean. But you know what you've got to do? If your past is still troubling you, you have to lay hold of the forgiveness. You have to lay hold and press on and lay hold of what Christ has done for you at the cross. You have to speak it over your life and say, I am completely, not only clean and washed clean and forgiven, but I am a completely new creation through Christ. I believe it's legal to say to God, I know, but that was somebody else back there. I'm now a new creation. That person didn't have the Holy Spirit. Now I'm new. That person was a grub. Now I'm the butterfly. But you've got to lay hold of that. If your past is, you've got to press in and lay hold of that and claim it and tear down everything, a lie, a high place in your mind, and grip it and declare it. Because your past, and sometimes it's not only your past, if it's sin, it causes paralysis, but sometimes it's past victories. You can have done extraordinary things for God. I know we've seen some great victories in the world, and there's a chance that you can sort of celebrate them and become complacent, and that causes stagnation. But Paul says, I didn't do any of that. I just forget everything that is behind, and all I'm focused on is Christ laying hold of him. Christ is fruit, more of Christ, more fruitfulness, more territory. I want to preach, I want to teach, I want to reach and get more for Christ. But he had a vision, and it was... The vision is all just about Christ. It's all about Jesus. And you know, he says at the end, he says, I see this upward call. That at the end of it, either I'm going up in the rapture, Christ is coming for me, or I'm going up to heaven. But I know death is not the end, but I got this vision. That at the end of it all, I'm going to meet Christ. I'm going to meet Christ. And he's going to have a reward for me. And I feel God wants to say to people today, it's not enough to know about what Christ has done for you. Yes, he's come for you. He's lived for you. He's died for you. He's risen again from the dead. That's all axiomatic. But he has a plan, and he has callings, and he has purposes. And Paul was gripped by something. He endured because He was in the grip of Christ. Christ had gripped his life. Christ had gripped his heart. Have you been gripped by Christ? Have you had an encounter with him? Have you seen his majesty? Have you seen his glory? Have you had an encounter with Christ where it's so wonderful and beautiful that you just think everything else in life is rubbish, even though I've got to go to work, even though I've got to do these things, it's all rubbish. It's Christ who I live for. It's his righteousness I live for. It's his character I live for. It's his fruitfulness I live for. My life has been gripped with Jesus Christ. I've seen him. I have a holy, healthy obsession with him. Has that happened to your life? Because if it has, you'll endure anything. You'll overcome everything. And I believe the reason people are falling away is they've never had that. I want to tell you, if you've had that encounter with Christ, if you know him, not about him, the evidence is the only thing that's going to happen. Everything else is rubbish. And when you know him, you want to know him more. You want to know him more. His righteousness. What are you going to do that your character is changed every day? And you know you're different this year than you are. You got more self-control, less anger than last year. You got to lay hold of it. Work is done, but you've got to lay hold of it by faith. Believe. All sin is gone. It's on the past. Now I'm the righteousness of God. If you want to know him and you want to know him more, Bible says, you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. You've got to lay hold of it. You've got to do something. Nothing just happens. You've got to lay hold of it through prayer. His character, you've got to lay hold of it. The work's done. Your calling, your giftings, you've got to press in. When we lay hold of the one who's laid hold of us, Paul says, you lay hold of me, but now I press on. I press on. And that word in the Greek means I push myself. I don't let myself get backslidden. I don't let myself get lukewarm. But I give myself a push when that starts to happen. I give myself a push so I keep moving forward and lay hold of new territory, new ground, reaching and preaching and teaching for more, believing that the power of the Holy Spirit is in me and God's going to make me more fruitful yesterday than I was today. I've got to give myself a little push sometime because nothing just happens. But Christ is coming. His reward is with him. And I believe everyone in this congregation, God said to me one day, if you believe, you'll lose not one. Not one. That everyone here is going to have the testimony like Paul, who said, even though it was hard, even though it was, my life was not easy, even though I had opposition, he says at the end of his life, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me and all those who believe on that day. I personally believe Christ is coming soon. That's just my personal conviction. I believe he's coming soon. He's given me many dreams that he's coming soon. And what's going to make you endure? What's going to make your faith remain strong? I tell you what, everything you need is in Christ. Paul had an encounter with Christ, and he said, the reason I keep going, nothing is easy, nothing worth, you tell me anything in life that's worth getting is cheap and easy. He says, but I see something. I see heaven before me. I know it's not cheap. I know it's not easy. I don't believe it's this greasy grace thing. He says, but I'm pressing on and I'm lay hold on this that I may gain Christ. I may gain Christ. That I may have his life, his character, his fruitfulness. And I press on. And if you have that attitude at the end, you not only have that, you're going to have a great reward. You're going to have a great reward. You know, you can be in that place where you've had that vision of Christ. And you can be on fire for Christ. Christ can be your everything. But you can lose it. The Bible speaks about the Ephesians church that was in that place and they lost their first love.